Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today we'll be reading 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah, as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. And that all that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop, I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night." And he said to me, "Speak." Then Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may bow before the Lord." And Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." As Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours, who is better than you. And also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret." Then he said, "I have sinned. Yet honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow before the Lord your God." So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul bowed before the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Bring here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." And Agag came to him cheerfully. Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." And Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hacked Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Amen. In our passage today, we see that Samuel confronts Saul because Saul was called to be king over Israel. He was anointed by Samuel to be king. And yet when God had given him clear instructions to go and to defeat the Amalekites, to kill everyone and to take everything and to destroy everything that they have, Saul and the people of Israel did not obey his commands. And what's even worse is that when Saul is confronted about this, he doesn't own up to his mistakes. He doesn't take the responsibility as king over Israel, yet he blames the Israelites, his own men, for making this mistake. You know, when you're in any kind of position of leadership, the reality is that any mistakes that are done within your organization or within your congregation or whatever it may be, ultimately falls on the leaders, ultimately the main leader. That's true even for Symphony Church. Anything that happens within college ministry, I'm overseeing it. And ultimately, the responsibility is on my end. And as Pastor Barry is the head of Symphony Church as a whole, he carries this burden of being responsible for wherever the church is going, even if some of the church members were to sin and make mistakes. Now, this was the case for Israel. God had given Israel specific instructions that they had disobeyed from the Lord. And Saul, rather than owning up to his sins, his mistakes, he blames it on his own people. And in response, God says that he regrets making Saul king over Israel. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this divine regret, because this word regret is the same word that happened when the flood had covered the whole earth in the time of Noah. And he says that he regrets ever creating mankind. Now, this regret is not talking necessarily about the plan itself, but it's talking about his deep sorrow. Regret can mean several different things, but in these contexts, I believe it's referring to the feeling of sorrow that Saul had, that Saul has turned out as he did. There's this deep grief and sorrow that the Lord is experiencing. When we are not in a right relationship with God, when we are disobeying the Lord, it grieves him, it leads him into sorrow. And that's the type of regret that I think we're seeing in this passage. Now, for the rest of our passage here, I want to talk a little bit about intentions. Intentions can be disguised as good, because that's essentially what King Saul and the people of Israel thought they were doing. They were bringing the choicest of cattle back with them. They were bringing King Agag with them as proof that they had destroyed the Amalekites. They wanted to bring these offerings to the Lord. And it was done with good intentions, but intentions can be disguised as good, as if we're choosing to do something according to our own wisdom, even though it's contrary to God's word and his wisdom, while saying that it is for his glory. Good intentions don't excuse us from disobeying the word of God. Several times, King Saul says that he did obey the voice of the Lord, that he did obey God's commands, yet he didn't. And I think sometimes we can respond in the likeness of Saul. We can say, I did obey the voice of God. I did do what he says. Yet perhaps we aren't. Perhaps we haven't actually been heeding the voice of God. We haven't been listening carefully to the actual commands of God. And so how can we obey the voice of the Lord? How can we do exactly what he says? Well, I want to share two things. If we want to be faithful in obeying the voice of the Lord, then I believe we need to do two things. We need to have attentive ears that can listen carefully. Attentive ears that can listen carefully. When we are in a right relationship with God, we are able to know more clearly the voice of our Father, the voice of our Shepherd. It says in the Gospel of John as well that my sheep know my voice. The sheep of the Good Shepherd, they know his voice. And when we are in that right relationship with God, we are able to have attentive ears, able to listen carefully exactly to what God is saying. So we need to have attentive ears. And secondly, we need humble hearts. Humble hearts that will put God's command over our own plans and our own opinions, no matter how right they might seem or how honoring they might be. As it is said in Isaiah 55, God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts. God is God and we are not. And when God calls us to do something, no matter how ridiculous it may sound, no matter how drastic it may feel like it is, God's ways are higher than our ways. We need to have humble hearts to receive that truth each day. When we have attentive ears and humble hearts, I believe that is when we can be faithful in obeying the voice of the Lord. Part of this process is actually just reading the Bible. Part of this process is prayer. Part of this process is not just speaking in prayer, but listening in prayer. And so let's do these things today. Let's come to the Lord, desiring to obey his voice with attentive ears and humble hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, once again, we see through the life of King Saul, Lord, that he did not have ears to hear and did not have a heart that is humble enough to know that your word trumps his own opinions and his own plans. God, I ask, O Lord, that you would give us attentive ears to listen carefully to your voice and give us humble hearts to put your commands over our own plans and our own opinions. Help us, Lord, to surrender our decisions, our ideas, our dreams over to you, God. We thank you and pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks for joining in, and I hope we can continue to grow with ears that can hear and hearts that will surrender to the Lord. Have a great day, everyone.